This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Prop Points. Good morning if you're on the West Coast like I am. Good afternoon if you're on the East Coast. Jeff Erickson here with Nick Whalen from RotoWire.com. This is Prop Points here on VSiN. We have got a busy NFL-centric show for you today. We're going to do some preseason game betting preview for tonight. We got Solomon Wilcott's joining us. Ian Hartitz from RotoWire is joining us. We will talk a little baseball. It's the Field of Dreams night tonight, so we'll talk about that game coming up in the final segment of the show. Welcome, everybody, if you are streaming with us on YouTube or if you're listening wherever you get your podcast later on. We're happy to have you on here. Make sure you download that Prop Points podcast on Apple, Spotify. Nick, let's start off with the FedEx St. Jude Championship, however. It is the start of the PGA Tour playoffs. You know, we can talk about some of the starters getting off here. We got Scotty out on the course already. There's not a clear favorite like there usually is heading into these tournaments, at least in terms of winning the overall the playoffs, because there isn't one dominant player this year. But Jordan Spieth is the story so far. 5 birdies in a 7-hole span.
Jordan Spieth, your solo leader through 17 right now. So he's on 18 as we speak. He's at 5 under. Michael Thorpe Bjornsson is at 4 under. Tommy Fleetwood, who got off to a nice start, also hanging on at 4 under. And Gary Woodland just moving to 4 under as well. We got Oberg. We got Victor Hovland sitting at 3 under. A little bit of a sluggish start for Scottie Scheffler. He's 1 under right now. Did have a bogey at 15. Rory McIlroy, who was just in some trouble hitting out of the pine straw, he's at even par. And we are still about 30 minutes away from some of the other big names, Xander, Morikawa, Cameron Young, teeing off in some of the final groups. Now, as usual, Jeff, the odds makers don't overreact typically to what we see in round one. Scottie Scheffler is still your odds-on favorite, plus 670 to win the tournament at DraftKings. Tommy Fleetwood's hanging around 10-1. Hovland and Oberg around 15-1. But not a lot of market faith right now in Jordan Spieth, who I believe does not have a top 10 to his name, by the way, on the year. But despite leading this tournament right now, coming out hot, plus 2050. So plus, a little short of 21-1. That was a really bad way of me to phrase that. But odds makers not exactly pushing him up the board quite yet.
Yeah. And if you were paying attention last week to the Wyndham, Spieth made a putt on 18 on Cut Friday there just to make the cut at the Wyndham. If he doesn't make that, he's not even in this tournament. He was that close to not making to the playoffs there. Instead, he does. Got a decent enough finish to qualify for the playoffs, and now he's off to a great start today. So we'll see if he can maintain. Odds are probably against that continuing, but still, great start for Jordan Spieth. Let's talk, though, about the big news in the NBA. Big news because of the stature of the player that we're talking about here. Russell Westbrook retiring after 18 years in the NBA.
Yeah, big news that came through yesterday, and to me, surprising news. Obviously, Russell Westbrook is almost 38 years old. He's 18 years into his career, but we continue to see a lot of these guys from the, all the way back to the 03 draft with LeBron, but, Kevin Durant and even Chris Paul still playing last year. A lot of these names that have been with us for almost 2 decades still hanging on and still holding up pretty well physically, and that's kind of what surprised me about this decision. I know Russell Westbrook was maybe going to have a little bit of trouble finding a good fit in terms of a team next season, but was still moving extremely well for a soon-to-be 38-year-old. We know he's a dog. We know he's one of the great competitors in recent NBA history. Still put up 15-7-5 last year, played almost 30 minutes per game. Reportedly, Jeff, he had some interest from Washington, from Sacramento, so I'm a little surprised that he didn't, take a bite at the apple, especially with Washington, a team that has real expectations this year. But overall, I think this sparks a look back at what is a very complicated player, not because of anything off the court, but because of the criticism that he faced for stat padding, for the lack of defense, for stubbornness, unwilling to kind of change his game as the NBA evolved. And then, of course, the inefficiency that plagued him throughout his career. With all that said, though, Jeff, I mean, this is undoubtedly one of the defining players of his era, an extremely unique player, an extremely memorable player, NBA top 75, no doubter, rightfully so on that list, and truly one of the best statistical resumes we have ever seen. And I'm interested to see how his career will age because the stats are unassailable, but we also scrutinize players more harshly now in the analytics era than we ever have.
Absolutely. We have different tools, different ways to look at those players, right? And different ways to evaluate him more than just the pure stats. And those advanced stats probably don't shine a positive light on him as much. I wish he were, the second half of his career, he had a couple of years with the Lakers that he was just mismatched with that team. Mismatched with playing with LeBron, two players, on-ball players there that just, they did not mesh well together. And Westbrook came out looking pretty poorly in comparison there. And I think if he had been on a different team at that stage of his career, we might have a different perspective on his career there, because it just wasn't ever going to end well as far as that goes. No, is he a automatic Hall of Famer for you? Is there any pushback against that notion?
He's 100,000% in. The NBA, the Basketball Hall of Fame, is kind of a different ball game than baseball or football. But even the equivalent of Russell Westbrook in those other sports, I think, gets in. Again, the statistical resume is out of control. You just saw the numbers I tweeted about yesterday. I mean, there are very few players who meet just the total statistical benchmarks that he has. Every NBA MVP has made the Hall of Fame. Westbrook, of course, did win an MVP. And like you said, you could be critical of the lack of playoff success. He had the one finals berth where they lost to the Miami Heat. Really did not play in too many consequential playoff series after that 2016 run with OKC, where the Warriors stormed back and beat them. And then, of course, Kevin Durant left. After that, I don't think he ever made it out of the second round, at least not as like a meaningful part of the team. Did latch on with the Nuggets a couple years ago. But the more I thought about this, Jeff, the more his career, I think, really mirrors that of Allen Iverson, a guy who also won an MVP, a guy who did make one run to the NBA Finals, had an outsized impact as far as, generating fandom and just the way we remember him. Allen Iverson probably on a different level even from Westbrook in terms of just the impact that he had as an NBA personality. But very, very similar players in terms of, peaking in their late 20s, feeling like, all right, the sky's the limit. And then all of a sudden, Westbrook and Allen Iverson are jumping around to different teams, and things kind of fell off a lot more quickly than we expected.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. I missed out, by the way, on my vacation. I could have made it an all Hall of Fame trip. I did see the Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto, but could have gone to Springfield. Wasn't that far away. I drove by the Tennis Hall of Fame in Newport, Rhode Island. Drove by the exit of Cooperstown in the drive in upstate New York. I could have really made it a Hall of Fame trip. Missed opportunity there for me there, but shame on me. Do you want to bet smarter? Then you need RotoWire. Our brand new smart money tool shows you exactly where the sharp action is moving, so you're always on the right side of the line, and that's just the start. RotoWire's award-winning staff delivers rankings, projections, real-time injury updates, and data-driven insights across every sport, every day. Whether you're handicapping games, crushing your fantasy league, or both, RotoWire has you covered. Head to rotowire.com right now and use promo code VSIN at checkout for 15% off any RotoWire product. That's rotowire.com, promo code VSIN. Got a couple of training camp news items that hit this morning. Noteworthy, especially from a fantasy perspective, Chuba Hubbard going to be week to week with a hamstring injury. There's already a lot of Jonathan Brooks truthers out there, Nick. I don't know, have you been jumping on that train at all yet? I have one share of Brooks so far. It got him in a discounted price. I don't think I'll be willing to pay the new price, but it's going to be to the moon now.
It's already on the way to the moon, Jeff. I actually checked this morning, last 2 weeks at the NFFC, which is where you get a lot of high stakes contests, he's at pick 75, and he has already surpassed Chuba Hubbard. Now, in some more casual formats in your home league, those guys are still probably pretty close in ADP, but we know how the fantasy community is going to react to this. I think if you haven't jumped in on Jonathan Brooks yet, this is the type of news that will force you to do so. And I know he's somebody our guy Ian Harditz, who we'll have on later in the show, has been all over this offseason. So we'll talk a little bit more about what that Chuba Hubbard injury means. For what it's worth, Panthers claiming that they think he'll be back for week one, but we'll see about that week to week right now. And then the other one, Jeff, is Jordan Tyson, rookie wide receiver for the New Orleans Saints. He left practice earlier today with a hamstring injury, a guy who has a history of these leg injuries at the college level. Again, too early to tell if it's anything overly severe. I think early indications are that it's probably not, but anytime you have a guy with that track record suffering this kind of injury, especially on the eve of preseason games getting started, or really the day of preseason games starting up, not a great sign, especially for a Saints offense that myself and a lot of people in the fantasy community are really high on.
Yeah, absolutely. And there had been really positive news coming out of camp about Tyson, about the Saints generally speaking. But Tyson also had a little, some nagging injuries heading into camp as well. So this is another reason to watch. Right. It seems like the report from, I think it was Mike Triplett suggested it isn't serious, but we'll see what happens with that one there. Definitely watch that closely. We have 6 preseason games tonight though, Nick, which means we have betting opportunities. I don't want to yuck everybody's yum. I don't necessarily bet on preseason games, but there's a lot to look for here. Should be from some fun items, some fun plays. I know you've got to play on a combined game here today, but Lions, Bengals, Packers, Steelers, Colts, Pats, Chargers, Texans, Cardinals, Raiders, Titans, Niners. We got 6 games going tonight. We're going to see our first look at Fernando Mendoza. We're going to see our first look at Jeremiah Love. Which game do you want to hit when we're talking about these first?
Look, I love the preseason, man. I mean, this is our first real taste of football. Apologies to the Hall of Fame game. I'm excited for Packers Steelers tonight. Matt LaFleur is telling us that we will see at least a series, maybe two, with the ones out there for Green Bay. So it'll be our first kind of real look at Matthew Golden in what could be a larger role this season. We should see a lot of Marshawn Lloyd. I am perversely interested in Colts Patriots because Anthony Richardson is going to play a full half of football. As you remember, Jeff, oh, wow. He of course lost that starting job. He hit himself in the face with a resistance band and was completely unavailable even after Daniel Jones went down. So this feels like maybe the last stand for Anthony Richardson as an Indianapolis Colt. If he struggles throughout the preseason, I think that's probably curtains, and he maybe moves on at some point. So interested to see, you know, what Anthony Richardson can look like going up against the Patriots team that we expect to be resting most of its starters. We got Solomon Wilcox, former NFL safety, host of the opening drive over on SiriusXM NFL Radio. He's going to join us when we come back on the Progressive Guest Line. We'll get his thoughts on what he'll be keeping an eye on in tonight's preseason slate. You're watching Prop Points here on VSiN.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson and Nick Whalen from RotoWire here. We have 3 baseball games ongoing right now. 1 score so far. Sal Stewart has homered for the Cincinnati Reds. It's 1-0 Reds against the White Sox. Davis Martin on the mound for the White Sox on that one there. Sal Stewart kind of stared down that homer a little bit. Tyler Stevenson subsequently got plunked right after that there. I'm not sure if that's related. It was a breaking ball, so probably not. But nonetheless, so that's going on. Cleveland, Detroit, Pittsburgh, Miami, also have started. Those games are scoreless. Seattle and the Yankees getting started at 1:35 Eastern time. So going to be a heavy day slate. We got the Field of Dreams game later tonight. That one's going to be the Twins and the Phillies going out in Iowa, Dyersville, Iowa on that game there. More on that game in a little bit. So a lot to talk about there. Shortly, we're going to be bringing on Solomon Wilcox on the Progressive Guest Line. Looking forward to having him on, talking a little Bengals, a little Colts. He's seen both of them in camp recently, so we're going to get his results there. Really looking forward to that. We just had another homer, Nick. Eugenio Suarez has also homered for the Reds. Now 3-0 Cincinnati Reds. Might as well talk Reds right now real quick. Hunter Green got the bad news on him this morning. Needed a second Tommy John surgery, out 12 to 18 weeks.
Not ideal. Not ideal, man. Obviously, Hunter Green missed time earlier in the season. I think we had pretty big expectations for what he could be, what this top of the Reds rotation could be this season. And, you know, despite what's felt like, I would say, an up and down season, mostly down, you know, the Reds are still on the fringes of the wild card race in the National League. If they were to win today, you get a couple losses above you. All of a sudden, you're looking at a 4.5 game deficit, but chasing Arizona and Philadelphia. But what does this mean in terms of fantasy stock for Hunter Green? Are we basically ruling him out for most, if not all, of next season? Obviously, this has become more of a routine procedure for starting pitchers now than it was 10 or 20 years ago as far as projecting what the rest of the career looks like. But how does this change the trajectory of his career in your eyes?
It's not great. It's because of Spencer Strider is a good example of a second Tommy John is why we're really concerned about that. Joining us now on the Progressive Guest Line, Solomon Wilcox, former Bengal, Eagle, and Steeler, or Viking and Steeler. He's also the host of the opening drive on SiriusXM NFL Radio. Follow him on Twitter at Solomon's Wisdom. I am a Bengal fan. Solomon, thank you so much for joining us today. I know you were at Bengals camp this week. What have you seen? How does Joe Burrow look, especially with them trying to do more things under center?
hey, Joe Burrow looks excellent. His offense looks good. They're returning all 11 starters on that offense. Zach Taylor believes that continuity will work to their advantage. But they also believe that by putting Joe under center, it allows them to leverage their run game and be able to create just as many big plays in the passing game. As you guys know, across our league progressively over the last few years, most of our big plays of at least the pass plays of 20 yards or more have come out of play action. More teams are beginning to leverage that part of the offense to create explosive plays, and the Bengals are no different. Roughly 90% of their offensive plays during Joe Burrow's six seasons with the Bengals have come out of shotgun. So they believe they can protect him better but still create explosive plays by putting him under center. That's something they've been working on a lot during this time of year.
So, Solomon, I think we know what to expect from the Bengals offense. You know, when Joe Burrow is healthy, when Chase and Higgins are out there, that hasn't been the issue over the last few years. It's been the defense, and specifically last season, it felt like that unit completely bottomed out. Now, they went shopping. They went out and grabbed Dexter Lawrence and, you know, made a few other minor additions to that defense. But, you know, from what you've seen, from what you've read so far, this doesn't have to be a dominant unit, but can the Bengals just at least work their way into a non-disastrous defense this season?
Yeah, I think a lot of us have kind of lowered the bar, say as long as they rank, you know, right around the middle of the league, that would be good enough for the team to prevail overall, considering how good their offense is. But if you were to talk to Dexter Lawrence, Jonathan Allen, Boye Mafe, and Brian Cook, particularly the new additions that they've added this offseason, their bar is much higher. They want to be a top-ranked defense. They want to be a dominating defense. It starts with Dexter Lawrence. Guys, he's a force multiplier. He can make players around him better because you have to double-team him, if not triple-team him. He's a really a good threat to get a pass rush as an interior rusher. And then it's going to free up guys like Jonathan Allen, who's playing phenomenally well, B.J. Hill, and other guys on that defensive line. They expect Miles Murphy to turn the corner in his career. And obviously, Boye Mafe, who they signed as a free agent, edge rusher from Seattle. These are the guys that they expect to get a lot of one-on-one opportunities, and they're going to be expected to win.
If there's a weak point on the defense, it's linebacker play. You know, we had two rookies last year, and Demetrius Knight in particular really struggled being in the center of the off-ball linebacker like that. How are they looking in this training camp? Is the, you know, presence of Dexter Lawrence up front maybe freeing Knight to make better plays, to be able to diagnose plays better? How is that looking?
Yeah, I think there's a really good question because that's the area where they made no changes, but yet this defense, and I think especially the bullseyes on those two linebackers you mentioned, on the secondary as well, they have the most missed tackles of any defense in the NFL, the highest missed tackle rate of any defense. And so when you talk with the coaches, you talk with the personnel, and you talk with even the players, they'll tell you that those two guys are going to be better just because it's their second year, they're more experienced. But by putting Dexter Lawrence and Jonathan Allen and B.J. Hill and T.J. Slayton in front of them, that now offensive linemen won't be able to climb to the second level. You won't be able to get to Demetrius Knight or Barrett Carter, and they'll be more free to, you know, roam sideline to sideline, if not to penetrate gaps and make tackles in the backfield. That's the expectation for improvement, is to keep those linebackers clean so they can run, hit, and tackle, and they believe that that will be enough to make up the difference in terms of the deficiencies you saw last year.
We'll have more for Solomon Wilcots in just a moment. But folks, most people think sports betting is about picking winners. Ungambled is built on a different idea: match betting and arbitrage. It's a tool that teaches you how to use sportsbook bonuses and promotional offers to capture value, whether or not your side covers. And Ungambled backs it up. If you don't turn a profit on your bankroll in 8 weeks, they refund your membership. To learn more, start with a free guide over at ungambled.com/VSIN. That's ungambled.com/VSIN. Use the promo code VSIN for 10% off. Bet sharp, look square with Ungambled. Solomon Wilcots, former NFL safety, host of The Opening Drive on SiriusXM NFL Radio, stopping by the Progressive Guest Line here on Prop Point. So, Solomon, we got six preseason games coming our way tonight. And obviously, as an NFL veteran, You've gone through the preseason. I'm curious, yeah, how did you handle it during your career? You know, did you try to get up for these games, knowing that you might only see limited action? And, you know, how has the way teams handle the preseason changed since you were in the league?
You know, Nick and Jeff, look, I can tell you, it's changed a lot. We don't even have these anymore. Remember those? when you had to strap it up twice a day and, you know, you got to go get lunch and take a nap and then have the afternoon practice. That was a lot of work, guys. But guess what? We were able to improve our game and polish up our game. When you have that many more practices, what we call time on task, I thought the level of play was at this very sharp level, even to start the season. I'm not taking anything away from today's players. But when you put in less work and expect to be better, I just don't know how that works. Now, I still enjoy today's NFL because I do think the quarterbacking has gotten better just across the board. I think there was a time when you may have had 10 really, really good starting quarterbacks. I think our league now, we have much more than that. And not necessarily 32 teams. Not everyone has their guy, but roughly at least 20 to 25, I think you could say are very solid. And so I do think the kind of work that we got done, how the quantity of work that we got done, the physicality of the work that we got done was at a much higher level. There, it was much more demanding in training camp in those days than it is now. But again, there's higher learning. There's more being asked of today's players when it comes to what they have to learn, what they have to know. You have more players changing teams in the offseason. So you got to learn a full playbook in a very short period of time. And I do think there's a lot more of a higher bar of a challenge academically, right, when it comes to your football IQ than, say, there was when we played. But the physical ask was much higher back then.
The football IQ aspect is relevant to the Colts with Anthony Richardson starting tonight. Solomon, we got about 30 seconds left. What do you expect out of Richardson tonight? What are you watching when you see him play tonight?
Well, you know, I was just there in Westfield, Indiana, and I got to tell you, I thought Anthony Richardson looked great. I thought he made all the throws. The ball was coming out with great timing. So you can tell that his feel for the passing game has gotten much better. He's always had a big-time arm. This guy, I'm telling you, man, he looks like Cam Newton. You don't want to have to tackle Anthony Richardson.
All right. Solomon, great stuff. Thank you so much for spending a part of your busy day with us. I know you're a really busy man, and we appreciate your insights. Thanks for joining us today. Catch him on SiriusXM, NFL Network Radio. When we come back, Ian Harditz from RotoWire joins us with some of his picks and pans. This is Prop Points.
Network. You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points here on VSiN, the sports betting network. Nick Whalen and Jeff Erickson hanging out with you. We'll give you a quick update from the FedEx St. Jude. Michael Thorbjornsson has now joined Jordan Spieth at 5-under at the top of the leaderboard. Both those guys in the clubhouse with a 65 on the card. Tommy Fleetwood, Gary Woodland, Victor Hovland, all sitting at 4-under. Things starting to unravel a little bit for Rory McIlroy. Back-to-back bogeys. He's now at 2-over, currently lining up a shot from just inbounds as he nears the conclusion of his round. We'll, of course, keep you posted as things develop. But we're heading right back out to the Progressive Guest Line to bring in our friend Ian Harditz, NFL fantasy analyst for us over at rotowire.com, the mayor of fantasy football Twitter, at iHarditz. And make sure you give Ian a follow on X. Make sure you're subscribed to Fantasy Football with Ian Harditz over on YouTube. Fresh content going up every day as we enter the thick of draft season. Ian, thrilled to have you on the show. Thrilled to be working with you over at RotoWire this season. A lot that we want to discuss here, and I want to start with Jonathan Brooks. We talked at the beginning of the show about Chuba Hubbard's injury. We already knew Jonathan Brooks was flying up draft boards. I don't expect that to change in the coming weeks now, given what's going on with Chuba Hubbard. But my question to you is, where do you draw the line? It was a lot of fun when we were getting Jonathan Brooks after pick 100 earlier in the summer, but how high are you willing to take him as that ADP continues to climb?
I mean, I literally just had my kind of Yahoo round by round draft strategy guy go up. And I even looked at the round, 100, like you said, ADP, saying, I get it though, guys, probably not in your league. So you're going to want to get ahead of this. And now, man, I mean, I don't think he's going to be a first round pick or anything, but if Chuba is going to be sidelined, we start hearing this early season, availability in question, round 5, round 6. I mean, it's a rocket ship for this dude. And we have seen this sort of stuff happen. Remember Bill Krosky Merritt last year flying off draft boards as well. So in Brooks's, I guess, defense, I have him up around pick 76 right now. And I do think that given the injury to Chuba, he deserves to go ahead of Hubbard at this point. The alert for Jonathan has always just been the fact that he was being priced around more true handcuffs, but you had that potential for not only a 60-40 split, but a potential non-injury induced takeover, just like we saw Rico Dowdle wind up getting with Chuba. So I know Chuba had the calf issue last year and that helped contribute to it, but now he's got the hamstring issue, man. It really is a young man's game. Jonathan's still just 23 years old. So if he looks anything like he did coming back out of Texas, being that first running back in his draft class as well, I'm with you. I don't think we can exactly call him a sleeper anymore because he's become way too early in drafts, but still some a man that kind of RB3, RB2, RB3 borderline that along with the Steelers running backs, man, should be very interested in.
Most people on Prop Points Watchers know that Nick is our resident Jaguars guy. I haven't put him on the spot yet about Bishal Tooten versus Chris Rodriguez. I'm going to ask you this question, though, instead, and we'll kind of do it that way sideways here in the side door. Where are you on that running back battle? Are the prices okay? I know Rodriguez is like RB45, I think, at this point in time. Tooten is not a bargain anymore. Where are you on these two backs?
I was higher on him, honestly, before I had Sports Illustrated's John Shipley over on my show and just got to ask him straight up what he was seeing at practice. And sounds like pretty much co-starters, man, between C-Rod and Tooten. So Rodriguez obviously had the foot problem going on throughout the summer, but hasn't caused him to miss much of any training camp time. And it does seem like he's back down there to be their kind of goal line running back. So there's a couple guys in this range, Bashaul Tooten, Bucky Irving, Jadarian Price. Like, it's 2026. Okay, there's only so many running backs getting 400 touches per season nowadays. We can live with two back committees. It's when we get that third guy involved that does become problematic, especially if you're not getting the pass down work and you're not getting the goal line work. So in Tooten's case, I think he's capable in those areas, but Rodriguez obviously goes back to Kentucky days with Cohen. He's looking like the favorite to be the goal line back. LaQuint Allen Jr., absolute savage in pass pro. I know Jaguars fans love that man. He's looking like a candidate to soak up more of the pass down work, and it just really makes it a tough spot for Tooten, who, by the way, not exactly running behind a great offensive line if you want to go ahead and check out our ranks over at rotowire.com. So Tooten, for me, deserves to be, a top 26, top 27 running back, but more times than not, man, I'm getting that range of drafts. I'm taking a high upside wide receiver or tight end instead.
So we talked about Jonathan Brooks, Ian, flying up draft boards. But we're not necessarily seeing that with Jordan Mason. His ADP is up a bit over the last month or so, but still widely available after pick 100, especially in your home leagues. And viewers of this show know I am very high on what Kyler Murray is going to bring to the Minnesota Vikings, just comparing to what that quarterback play looked like last year. And, of course, we talk about what that means for Jefferson and Addison and Juwan Jennings. It still feels to me like Jordan Mason is kind of left behind in this discussion. Is he somebody you find yourself targeting?
Oh, yeah. I think with home league ADP, he's one of the best values on the board right now. We're talking about someone who we at least project, man, to pretty easily lead this Vikings backfield in overall touches. In a better offense, you would like to think, can't get much worse from what we saw last year. And I think that's the part that people are missing. Mason really made the most out of his opportunities last year, as he has throughout most seasons of his career. 4.8 yards per carry. Next gen stats, they have the rushing yards over expected. Once again, Jordan Mason, one of the best running backs in the league in that as well. We just didn't get the scoring opportunities because we never got scoring opportunities in that offense. Raiders running backs and Vikings running backs last year had the same amount of carries inside the 5-yard line. So when you bring in Kyler Murray, not only should we be expecting the overall scoring offense, I think, to have just more opportunities inside the 10-yard line and everything, but Kyler, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, like all these dual threat quarterbacks, we've seen it over the years, man, that gravity they have in the read option game, just forcing that defensive end to be one step slower and kind of getting down and getting to the running back. It boosts the yards per carry of these guys, every year, year in and year out. So Kyler, unlike Josh Allen, unlike Jalen Hurts, not someone we have to worry about vulturing too many touchdowns inside the 5-yard line. So I just see Jordan Mason as someone who, no, probably not going to be a top 10 running back when it's all said and done, but RB4 price tag. And if we look up in December and it's like, oh, Jordan Mason just scored his 10th touchdown of the season, shouldn't be surprised.
Currently up on RotoWire right now, using promo code VEASAN and get 15% off any RotoWire subscription. We have our draft plans, our expert draft plans, including yours, the Super Bowers draft plan. What is the Super Bowers draft plan?
It's provocative. That's what it is, man. But nah, okay. Superpowers. This is like just if everything's going my way in the course of a draft, I'm able to kind of get my guys, at least in the first handful of rounds. Round one, would love to get a stud running back, okay? Whether it's going to be Gibbs or Bijan at the top, CMC more in the middle, maybe Chase Brown at the end. Round two, and this is where the Bowers element comes into it, we go ahead and pair that running back with none other than Brock Bowers, my pick to be this year's JSN, ultra-talented rising third-year tight end, no target competition to speak of, Clint Kubiak offense coming in, very, very high on Mr. Bowers. Round three, I like Javonte Williams going kind of in the earlier portion of it. Just think, again, he's someone who could fall into the end zone 12-plus times. Wouldn't think twice about it. Maybe you want to start going wide receiver, but that's going to be our start, okay? At least one running back, potentially a second in round three, and then we get Brock Bowers in round two. And then we just get to feast on these wide receivers in the mid-range, man, because we've already got everything else figured out. We'll touch on late-round quarterback. We got Jared Goff. We got Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, Tyler Shuck. Choose your fighter. We'll even take two of them because it's that late in the draft anyway. For me, this allows you the best pockets of every single position in your draft. You're getting the stud running back or backs before we have to worry about the Bashaw Tunes of the world. And around three and beyond, man, whether it's Ladd McConkey, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, Christian Watson, so many wide receivers I want to have the opportunity to be able to draft. And again, by solidifying tight end and my at least RB1 spot, if not the RB2 spot early, I really do think that gives you the best chance to take advantage of each position where they're at their strongest.
So Ian, we're going to see Niners Titans as part of the 6-game preseason slate tonight, and should see Cam Ward, should see Carnell Tate make his debut. It's going to be our first look at the Titans' new uniforms, which I'm very excited about. Now, not expected to see a lot of regulars for the 49ers, but there has been some indication that Deshaun's dribbling will likely be on the field. He's one of many rookie wide receivers getting a lot of steam over these last few weeks. You could still get him in the 12th, 13th round in high stakes leagues, probably at least a round or two after that in your home league. Are you buying in on these reports that Deshaun's dribbling has been the best receiver at Niners camp?
I mean, it's certainly a good thing to hear. Would much rather hear that than him being, you know, the worst wide receiver at training camp. But I still do just look at this offense, and then my heart of hearts believe it's going to roll through Mike Evans, Christian McCaffrey, and once he's back, George Kittle in the passing game. So Stripling, okay, maybe he does rise up and become a major factor here, but they also bring in Deebo Samuel. We got some veterans like Christian Kirk and DeMarcus Robinson. It seems like they've wanted him for that Juwan Jennings role, which, hey, over the past 2 years wound up leading to a lot of production, but that production came after a lot of injuries happened. So maybe Stripling proves me wrong, but at that point in drafts, man, I want the Tank Bigsby's of the world. I want the Ray Davises of the world, guys who are one injury away at running back to being must-start players, not a wide receiver 5-6 type who, again, we'll see boom 1 week, but then as the fantasy gods will do to us, as soon as we start them, all of a sudden they crash back to earth.
Great stuff from our guy, Ian Harditz. Again, you can find all of his work over at rotowire.com, one of our lead NFL fantasy analysts. Make sure you check out Fantasy Football with Ian Harditz over on YouTube. Ian, on the way out, what should we be keeping an eye out for? What's coming to the channel in the next few days?
I'm just excited to watch Marshawn Lloyd play some football tonight, fellas. But now we got some fun stuff going up on the channel. Again, Vikings and Packers, beat reporters, insights, fantasy specific stuff. Also going round by round, Yahoo draft strategy. So getting you guys ready for those home leagues. But this is fun, fellas. I appreciate you. Hope everyone enjoys the preseason action.
Ian Harditz, everybody. Again, check him out. Fantasy Football with Ian Harditz over on YouTube. Going to switch things over to Major League Baseball when we come back. We got some scores to update you on. We'll get Jeff Erickson's betting card on the other side. You're watching Prop Points here on VSiN.
Watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Nick Whale and Jeff Erickson back with you. It's Prop Points here on the sports betting network. Michael Thorpe Bjornsson, Jordan Spieth still sitting atop the leaderboard at the FedEx St. Jude. Scottie Scheffler just finishing up his round. He's still your betting favorite, plus 670 at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Tommy Fleetwood one shot back. He is just north of 10-1 to win the tournament. So keep you posted again on anything happening at the St. Jude. We do have four Major League Baseball day games in action. Bottom third between the Guardians and the Tigers. Just two total hits on the board. Both of those belonging to Cleveland. It's a 0-0 game. No outs in the bottom of the third. We're also in the bottom of the third between Pittsburgh and Miami. We also have two hits on the board. We also have no runs on the board. Braxton Ashcraft off to a nice start for Pittsburgh. The Reds, they put up three on the Chicago White Sox. That's a 3-2 game already in the bottom of the second. Two on, two outs right now for Chicago. And just underway between the Mariners and the Yankees out in the Bronx. 0-0 in the top of the first. Before we get Jeff Erickson's full baseball betting card, folks, football is back. Six preseason games on the slate tonight. Some of the best betting opportunities of the year start with the NFL preseason. You can sign up for VSiN Pro today and get both our NFL and college football betting guides. They're packed with team previews, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from VSiN's sharpest minds to help you bet football smarter all season long. You'll also get daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, including our new MLB player props and totals picks. Plus, you'll get 24/7 video full show replays over on the VSiN Watch app. You can get started today for just $9.99 or get a full year, save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe. Do it right now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. So a little bit of an abbreviated slate, Jeff, especially with these four games ongoing, but we'll still get plenty of plays for you in Major League Baseball tonight. Go to another later afternoon game. This is Red Sox Blue Jays out in Toronto. Red Sox -145 favorites on the road money line. Total sitting at 8. It's Peyton Tolley. It's Max Scherzer. What do you like?
Well, this is interesting because the Red Sox, once the hottest team in baseball, have lost, you know, all three games in the series against the Jays. They've lost five in a row overall. They're kind of like, you know, all of a sudden they're doing the reverse thing here, and it's kind of scary. But they've got Tolley on the mound today. And the thing about Peyton Tolley is he's been phenomenal at home. Not as dominant on the road, however, though, especially with the strikeouts. 34.2% home strikeout rate, 22.4% on the road. And it's one of those things that doesn't, it doesn't really add up the way you would expect. However, the Blue Jays facing left-handers are just awful, just awful. Last 30 overall, they have a 280 ex-WOBA, which is 28th in baseball, versus left-handers. They're absolutely dead last against left-handers. 280 WOBA. K percentage at home is 21.3%. So they're not a big strikeout team. So the way I'm looking at this is I'm playing two different things here. I'm going to play, first of all, the Peyton Tolley. I'm going to play the under 5.5 Ks. You get that at +105 over at DraftKings. That's one I really like. And then I also like the under in this game. Under 8. With the -110, you can get that at Bet Rivers. So those are the two plays, under 8 and under 5.5 strikeouts for Peyton Tolley.
Things start to tighten up in the NL Central. Cubs have won 3 in a row. Brewers coming off a sweep at the hands of the Padres. So now just 3 games separating those two teams at the top of the division. Cubs finishing off a series in Washington this afternoon, Jeff. Kevin Gausman taking on Cade Cavalli. Do we have a Jeff Erickson patented total home runs prop for this game?
Oh, you know I do. If the Nationals are involved, I almost try to find a way to get involved in that there. It's a little dicey because Gausman and Cavalli are pretty good pitchers. Gossman's allowed 16 homers this year, Cavalli 15. So nothing in the Aaron Nola zone, for instance, there that we're talking about. However, you get to pick on both teams' bullpens. And that's where I think this comes into play, especially the Nats bullpen. They have a 4.91 bullpen ERA this year. And the expected stats all suggest that the Cubs have the 26th best expected ERA in bullpen ERA in baseball as well. And I don't think they've done enough to improve their bullpen to say that. Now, the last time I said a team hasn't done enough to address a known deficiency, I said that about Joe Adell yesterday, and he homered twice. So shame on me for that. But I'm going to go back to the well nonetheless. I'm going to go with the over 2.5 total homers in this game. We're getting plus money on it today because of these two starting pitchers. It's +130 over at DraftKings. There's been 12 homers in this series combined. Alex Bregman alone has had including three yesterday. It's been Rockets red glare in this series. It's 90 degrees in DC for this game. So the ball should fly quite nicely there in this one here. But still, And I it should be a fun game to watch. I'm not going to do any individual plays as far as that goes and trying to time which players are going to hit that home run, but I think we should see plenty of homers in this game.
Well, we took our shots at Aaron Nola. He does happen to be on the mound tonight, Jeff, for the Phillies taking on the Minnesota Twins. Twins are technically the home team, but of course, this is the Field of Dreams game in Iowa. This will not surprise you, Jeff. I have not seen the movie Field of Dreams. It does not preclude me from watching this game every year. I love that Major League Baseball is doing this. I know we have the Little League Classic coming up as well, involving the Milwaukee Brewers. But Field of Dreams game starting up at 7:30 p.m. Eastern tonight. Game is pretty much even on the money line. Total sitting at 8.5. How are we playing this one? How are we attacking Aaron Nola should be the question.
First of all, I'm glad you preempted me for asking the question, have you seen Field of Dreams? I knew the answer, but it's always nice to say. I don't blame you. I mean, it's certainly dated. But as far as that goes, it is an Aaron Nola game. Now, keep in mind, Dyersville plays as a little bit of a pitcher's park. We have such limited sample, though. I mean, what are we really talking about here in terms of sample size and how a team plays? We usually say you need 3 years of sample size for it to count. Our buddy Todd Zola tells us that over at RotoWire. It is Aaron Nola night. We like Aaron Nola night. We're going to keep going back to that particular well. He's allowed 29 homers so far this season, 18 by left-handers. So left-handed hitters have more homers than Kevin Gausman has allowed all season long, more homers than Cade Cavalli has allowed all season long. Yes, we're going to find a home run prop in this one here. It's going to be Brooks Lee. Brooks Lee has 17 homers on the year. He's had a couple in the last 10 days. 14 of his homers have come against right-handed pitching. So I like this setup here. Brooks and the dinger prop is beautiful at plus 680 over at FanDuel. We're getting a good payoff if we get to that as well. So Brooks Lee, Brooks was here. That's another movie reference you probably don't get. At 680 at FanDuel. Shawshank, by the way. Have you seen Shawshank?
Yes, I have seen Shawshank. Long time ago. That was a one and done watch for me.
Okay, fair enough. It was on 37 million times on TNT and TBS, so I think I saw the partial replays of it like 17 times. Just one of those back in the era of the pre-streaming era where I was just kind of whatever was on, I'd see. That's why I saw it so many times. So Brooks Lee, plus 680 home run over at FanDuel.
Rangers Angels out in LA. It's Jacob DeGrom night for Texas. It's Walbert Urena night for the Angels. How are we playing this one, Jeff, as the Angels just kind of play out the string?
And the Angels have been feisty this week against the Rangers, much to their chagrin, but their offense has not been feisty lately. Last 30 games, 69 WRC plus and a 271 WOBA, both are 30th in baseball. Second highest strikeout rate in baseball over the last 30 days at 26.2%. Strikes me as a perfect opportunity to bet the Jacob DeGrom strikeout prop. At 6.5 strikeouts, which is at some shops, it's minus 120 at FanDuel. If you want to find a plus price, it's listed at 7.5 at a lot of other places there. That's up to you which way you want to go as far as that goes. I'm also going to get a play on the under here as well, because Walbert Urena, I know some of the expected numbers suggest he's not nearly as good as he's been, and the walk rate is the thing that kind of points to that. But he's pitched okay against Texas twice already. Texas's lineup is a little weaker still. I'll go the under 7.5 in the game total. That's at minus 108 over at Bet Rivers.
Send out our best bets of the night, Jeff. First, if you want to tack on anything for Dodgers Brewers, it has to be something that benefits the Milwaukee Brewers, though. That's the caveat. Feel free to add that in. And then I know you have an NFL win total you want to throw in as well.
Sending Gary Sanchez to the moon for plus one. Let's go the under in that game. It would be to the Brewers' benefit. They're minus 115 over at FanDuel, under 8.5 as far as that goes. My best bet of the day is football. I'm getting my cues from Nick here. I'm going to take the Falcons under 6.5 wins. Gave this out with Gil and Kelly earlier today. Plus 120 at DraftKings. So many bad things already happening. They're having the training camp from hell. Tua's going to start on Friday. Okay, good luck on that one there. They don't have a right tackle to speak of. Juwan Taylor might end up being their starter. I just think there's a lot of bad juju with going on with the Falcons. Under 6.5, it's a stark number, but we're getting plus money, plus 120 over at DraftKings.
even though I know what I'm signing up for, Jeff, I am tricking myself into getting really excited for this 6-game preseason slate. So I wanted to get a little bit creative here, wanted to try to generate some value. We know Jordan Love is going to play. We know Joe Burrow is going to play. Both Love and Burrow to throw a touchdown on their first drive of the game tonight, plus 1950 over at the DraftKings Sportsbook. Let's see some scoring. Let's ride with those two-star quarterbacks that we will see tonight. That's going to wrap things up here on Prop Points. Money Moves coming your way next. JBT, Tim Murray, stopping by the show. Keep it locked. You're watching the Sports Betting Network.